Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and he taught them. And then the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, it was commanded that she should be stoned. So what do you have to say?" They said this to him in order to test him, so that they could have something to charge him with. And Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But they continued asking him, and he straightened up and he said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she replied, "No one, sir." And then he said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel text comes from chapter 8 in the Gospel of John. And it's unusual to find this in the Gospel of John. John is a mystical gospel, second and third level meanings. To find a story like this and its teaching in John's gospel is quite unusual. It might be more settled in the Gospel of Luke, perhaps a gospel of compassion. But it has a teaching for us, so let me look at this. If you follow biblical studies, consult the scholars, or read the commentaries, very early on, you'll come upon this strange word, kerygma. It's a Greek word, and literally it means proclamation. But speaking about the kerygma of Jesus, his proclamation, it's much more than just the words. It's the manner in which he treats people. His actions, as powerful as his words, make up the kerygma of Jesus. The teaching, the proclamation, the way of life that comes from following Jesus Christ. That's the kerygma. Who understands the kerygma of Jesus Christ? Sinners. The blind, the lame, the weak, the helpless, those who are struggling, the people who doubt, the only ones that understand the kerygma of Jesus. They're the only ones who can experience the infinite love of God, the compassion of Jesus Christ. It's a gift given only to sinners, to those who are helpless, those who are struggling in life. The convicted religious people do not know the kerygma of Jesus. Julianne Stans, in her nice book, Start With Jesus, treats it very nicely. She says, the kerygma of Jesus is to accept people first, not with conditions, not with reservations, to accept people first, and then the transformation happens. Out of an experience of being loved and accepted just the way you are. So let me wonder with you what this might mean to us. Two Sundays ago, we reflected together here on the Samaritan woman. You'll remember the Samaritan woman, chapter 4 in the Gospel of John, if you want to read it. The pejorative Samaritan, the low caste Samaritan. And this woman comes to the well at Shechem in Samaria. We're told it's noon. The sun is high in the sky. It's hot. And Jesus sits down by the well. He's tired. His disciples go into the village to buy some food, so he's alone. And this woman, the Samaritan, she comes alone at noon. That's very unusual. Women did not draw water at noon, it's too warm, in the evening or in the morning, and they usually come in groups. So she's alone. She comes at an unusual time. She's lost, she's searching, she's adrift. She's uncertain about the meaning of her life. An unusual woman, following the Gospel of John, married 5 times and living with a man who is not her husband, whatever exactly that means. But clearly, she's somebody who is struggling, and she meets Jesus. Jesus accepts her, he listens to her, tries to understand her, and she goes through a transformation, and she becomes the first person to announce the kerygma of Jesus Christ. In all 4 Gospels, she's the first. This unusual woman. So who understands the power and the teaching and the presence of Jesus Christ? Only the one who is struggling and lost, searching, doubting, wondering. The one who is adrift, the one who doesn't show up at 9:30 Mass on Sunday. You know. Remember last Sunday's gospel, the prodigal son? The prodigal son, the one who squandered his inheritance, lived a crazy life, comes back to his father. And the father, remember Rembrandt's painting we spoke about it last week? The father who is blind in the painting. So Rembrandt, how did he see his son when he was far off if he was blind? Rembrandt said he saw him with his heart. That's the kerygma. Jesus sees with the heart. No judgment. Not only does the father, the image of the kerygma of Jesus, not only does the father forgive him, the father heals him and makes him whole, put shoes on his feet, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, restore his sonship, make him whole again. Experience the infinite love of God. While the elder son stands in judgment, the elder son experienced the respect of his father, but he did not know the love of his father, and therefore he had no idea about the kerygma of Jesus. Oh, by the way, if you look at the first, I spoke about the Samaritan woman, when his disciples return and they see him speaking to the low caste Samaritan woman, they're alarmed. But only the low caste Samaritan woman could understand the proclamation of Jesus. So look at today's gospel. The religious Pharisees and the scribes bring this woman to Jesus, caught in adultery. They misquote the Mosaic law, but that's another story. And they say this woman deserves to be stoned according to Mosaic law. Jesus doesn't say anything. He sits down and writes on the ground, which is biblically a statement that he's ignoring them. And after a while they go away, and Jesus says, has no one condemned you? I do not condemn you. No judgment, no condition, no penance. I went to confession years ago in Rome, and one of my trips over there, used to go to confession, I'd go there a lot. And it was a holy year. It was something about penance, and the priest said to me, what are you doing for the holy year? And I said, I'm not doing anything special. Well, he reprimanded me, and he said, your penance, three times the stations of the cross and the rosary. I was so damn mad at him inside the confession, but I didn't want to fight with him in the confession, so no penance, no condition, no reservation. She is transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. So what does this mean to us? It means that the spiritual journey always begins in darkness. Consider the lives of the saints. Ignatius, 1,000 years earlier, you had Augustine, went through chaos in his life and went through the conversion. Read the life of Mother Teresa. She went through incredible doubt and displacement before she went into a new mission, caring for the poor. Your journey in the charisma of Jesus Christ begins in darkness. It begins your emptiness. It doesn't begin when you're all holy and all perfect. It begins when you're struggling, when you're uncertain, when you're empty, when you're helpless in life. That's the beginning of the spiritual life. Only then can you experience the infinite care and the love of Jesus Christ. Never get discouraged by failure. Never lose confidence by having doubts. It's the beginning. I met a lovely couple this week who are planning to get married. And I said, well, where did you meet? Alcoholics Anonymous. So this is a marvelous, it's so honest. It's so honorable. I think I told you I went to an AA meeting a few years ago here at the Women's Club. A friend of mine, it was his second anniversary of sobriety, he said, please, would you come with me for my anniversary? I said, I'd love to. I was inspired by the honesty, transparency, and the openness of everybody who spoke. We're not like that in the church. We don't see ourselves as broken. We want to be powerful. We want to have all the answers. And maybe you don't fit. When do you come to a church and say, where is the teaching of Jesus Christ? Take a second look at this. And by the way, you won't have to search for it. You won't have to search for your poverty, for your struggle. It'll come to you. And if you feel fulfilled and perfect and ideal and all holy at the moment, then you need to belong to somebody else who is struggling and having a hard time. That's the call of the Spirit. That's to follow Jesus Christ. So don't rush out looking for some moment of helplessness or sin or, it's all there already, you just have to look. It will come to you, it's part of the economy of an imperfect life. One of my favorite books, which is also a favorite of Pope Francis, John Navone, Triumph Through Failure. Marvelous book. So let me give you an example of this gospel coming to life. On Wednesday this week, I got a call from Ireland saying my brother-in-law was an extraordinary person, close to me as the closest brother, has extensive cancer, tumor in his stomach and his lungs and his liver. Very sick man. I'm wondering where the teaching of Jesus. So I leave tonight for Ireland. I want you to know, prayer changes. Everything changes. All the trivial things, the sigh, the conflict, the emptiness, the poverty of your life, all goes away, goes away. So, there's a man back there. We have a doctor here. Jo Marie, you'll take care of this good man. Anyway, keep this in mind. Don't lose touch with the teaching, the proclamation of Jesus Christ in your own flesh and your blood. It's there. And when you discover it, you will discover the true meaning of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen.